So the one son said, I will not go out I will not go out and work in the vineyard today. But later he changed his mind and he did. The other son said he would, but he never did. I remember a time in my childhood when I was like the first son who said, I'm not going to do that. And I'd go off and play. But my parents had this children's book called The Son Who Said He Wouldn't. And it's about this parable. And the son who says he's going to go work but never does, he goes off sailing and a storm comes in. And he almost gets, his sailboat gets wrecked, his fun gets ruined. And the son who said he wasn't going to work but does, he changes his mind and he works. He and his dad have this joy of getting all the grapes harvested right before the storm comes in and destroys everything. And so the work actually becomes exciting and even fun. And it's also the joy of being with his father, and it's that joy of knowing he did the right thing. I wonder why my parents got that book for us. It was super effective, and I had a pretty active conscience anyway. I couldn't really have any fun until I did what my father had asked me to do, which was always digging a trench in the yard or moving dirt over here to there. My dad was in the army, you see, so he knows how to invent useless work. And there's this impulse that we have when we have a healthy conscience that it's actually not that enjoyable to live a life of leisure or a life of self-seeking or of sin when we haven't, well, I guess sin is, if we have an active conscience, that's never going to be rewarding. But the other things, being leisurely or self-seeking, before we've sought what is the Lord's, it's actually, we're taking something and we know we should be receiving it as a gift, and we're not waiting, we're just taking it. Because we've sought what is ours before we've sought what is Christ's. And so I think that's one of the most important questions today is, are you seeking what is yours, or are you seeking what is Christ's? Whose kingdom are you building? For whose glory are you most ambitious? You know, God definitely, he shares glory, but a lot of the glory that he's going to share with us is not really here. His glory is something that is revealed here through acts of humility, love, and self-abasement, as we saw in the second reading. And we don't always choose that, and if we do, we don't always choose it right away. But it's worth asking the question, when was the last time God asked you to do something? And you knew it. Maybe it was a direct thing that he said to you in prayer. Maybe it was something you knew because you know the commandments. Your parents raised you right, or whatever. You knew God wanted you to do something. When was the last time God asked you to do something? And you thought about it and deliberated. Did you do what he asked? Did you say you would and then change your mind later? Like, did you say you wouldn't and then change your mind? The thing about us is, as humans, we make decisions every day, all day, and we can change our answer. And if you offer God a response, like, let's say you gave your life to Jesus in a very explicit way. You've done that. You know, you did that, and then maybe you did that at your baptism. Maybe you did that when you were a little bit older, most of us probably when you were a little bit older. And you said, Jesus, my life is yours. Fast forward 5 years from that, were you still living as though you had said yes to Jesus? Are you still now? You know, I remember being 6 years old and giving my life to Jesus in a prayer and meaning it and it changing something. I knew there was something different. I had already been baptized, but this was me now living in a relationship with God, having a prayer life. And my baptism was, you know, being, all the graces were being activated, right? And I remember being ordained a deacon at 28 and a priest at 29. And I remember Not changing my mind about that. I've never changed my mind about being a priest, okay? But I remember being really, really devoted to the Lord, and then let's say being less devoted. Lord, it's all yours. I just want whatever you want. Okay, I meant it and I did. But did you ever say yes and then you don't do yes? This reminds me of when, you know, when Jesus says, the man came to the other son and gave him the same order. Okay, to work in the vineyard is the order. He said in reply, yes, sir, but did not go. And then Jesus asks, which of the two did his father's will? Which makes me think of when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father. Right? Only those who do the will of my Father. We don't need to say no and then do yes. Like, we don't need to live a life of, we don't need to be tax collectors and prostitutes first, okay? If you've never worked for the IRS, it's okay, all right? We don't want to do that. We want to say yes and do yes, okay? We want both to be yes. But the thing for us to ask is, I've said yes, am I doing yes? And what ways has the Lord asked me to do something and I've said no? Or, maybe a little bit to the point of this, have I said yes to something that the Lord had called me to? And I did yes for a while, where I started off well, and now I've actually changed my mind, and I'm not really working in his vineyard anymore. I'm saying yes, but I'm doing no. That's what this is really speaking to. Jesus is speaking to the chief priests and the elders of the people who are saying yes. They're giving the appearance of yes, but their lives are saying no to God. I'm not going to do your works, the chief work of which is to believe in him. Really, that's what Jesus says are the works of God, to believe in the one he has sent. And what is the fruit of that? The fruit of that is all kinds of other good works too, but not self-seeking, you know, not to be noticed or to build our own kingdom, but rather to seek what is Christ's. And I think that what does God want? He wants us, what the Lord loves and desires, of course, is obedience. It's trust. It's the obedience of faith. And when we start off well and we drift into something else, we drift into something that is more self-seeking, the Lord does not accept that as our final answer. That's why he goes to the chief priests and the Pharisees and he says this to them. It's kind of like reminds me of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You know, like, what do you think? Is it D, George Washington? Yeah, D, George Washington. Is that your final answer? You know, you're like, oh, is he trying to trick him or is he trying to help him? Like, I don't know. But God's never trying to trick you. When God says to you, is that your final answer? He's always trying to help you. When God comes to us and brings this to us, he may want you to change your answer. Maybe not the one on paper. Not the one that brought you here this morning. He might want you to change the answer about how some part of the rest of the week goes, though. And to be a living sacrifice means we can offer God ourselves, and then we can change our minds, okay? So is there anything that has fallen off in your life that where you're no longer serving him and working in his vineyard? You're seeking what is yours, not his kingdom, but your kingdom. Because that's what it means to work in the vineyard. It's to seek his kingdom, all right? It's obeying the commandments. But it's also like the living like Jesus lived. And in that second reading, that's a great example of something really hard. Jesus's humility and service. We, I think, run a risk here of never saying anything to God. I mean, we might say something like on a bigger scale, but look at what are your commitments. Have I committed to serving in this way? Have I committed to prayer in that way? What are the things that help you? And I don't just mean like do good things. You should do good things. Yes, we should do good things. But I'm I think what the Lord wants is, what is he asking of us? Obedience is, hey, God is asking me to do this thing. And one of the ways that I most realize this, and I talk about this a lot because I think it's really been very fruitful, is the Exodus men's group. You know, every Saturday at 7 a.m., men come to my house and we commit to doing penance and prayer and fraternity all week long. You know why that's so important? Because I can say I want to be a disciple of Jesus, but then I never really do it. Like, when was the last time you got up in the morning, did a morning offering, prayed for 10 minutes with the daily readings, didn't look at your phone for the first hour of the day, or half hour, whatever is realistic for your job, pray with your family at night, prayed over your kids, and did a nightly examination of conscience? Like, that's just a little bit of the prayer. When's the last time you did 2 holy hours a week in the chapel? The code is 3113. It's open 24/7, all right? We're kind of like a 7-Eleven. We're not always doing business, but we're always open. When was the last time you volunteered at the breakfast or the fish fry, or you went into a breakfast and a fish fry and sat down with someone and said, Jesus, I've never seen this person before. How do you want me to evangelize them? Do you want to say anything to them through me? Maybe just seeing your family, your witness, your joy. You don't have to say anything, maybe. But to be available to the Lord to do that. Thanks be to God we have more volunteers in the food pantry, because that's been really needed. When was the last time you were actively serving the poor and seeking the lost? If we say we're going to be Jesus' disciples, we have to sit at his feet and learn from him and then do what we see him doing. If we say yes, we have to do yes. But the great thing is, this is what brings us great joy and true and authentic rest. Because it's not just about restlessly always having to do and everything and God's never satisfied. Not at all. And if you need a good book for your children, all right, to help them enter into this reality, I think it's called The Son Who Said He Wouldn't. And again, just to go back to that, what really struck my heart about that as a child was the joy that the son has who works with his father in the vineyard. The joy, he had to go through that pain, that suffering sort of I don't get to do what I want. Well, first he went to do what he want. He felt too guilty. He came back. He said, all right, I can't enjoy that right now. I might as well do what my father asked me to do. But what got me was he had the greater joy in his work. He had communion with the Father. And what do they do when they're done working? They celebrate. They rest. God has this incredible joy for each and every one of us in working with him in the vineyard. And there's a joy in doing the work and the communion with him there. There's also a joy in resting with him. In this gospel, I think the Lord is asking us to look at, is there anything that's fallen down, anything that's fallen off, where you started well, but maybe you lost track of it? And the Lord might be saying, I want to help you pick that back up. I want to help you pick that back up and work with me and rest with me.